So I'm speaking to Major General Tim Tyler, who's chair of the Royal Star and Garter Charity, which provides care to veterans and partners living with disability.
Good morning and hello, Jackie.
Good morning, Tim. May I call you Tim?
Of course you may, Jackie. Of course you may.
Thank you. So, Tim, you recently visited the Royal Star and Garter in Surbiton to talk about the Queen's funeral. You're one of 2,000 people that attended at the Abbey on the day of the funeral. Tell me what you, well, the gist of what you spoke to the veterans about, because they've, most of them have lived through pretty well most of the Queen's reign. They've lived through her constancy. They've lived with her always being there. So how did you talk to them and what sort of questions did they ask?
As you say, it was an extraordinary privilege to be invited to the Abbey. And of course, in the Abbey, you've got a very different perspective from, I imagine, those who watched on television, and the residents had all watched on television and seen the whole thing. But from, you know, the comfort of their home and with all the commentary. And I was able to talk to them a bit about what it was like just to be there with no commentary, with no television. The programme which we had been given, and was sitting on our chair when we arrived, obviously some hours before the service. And then it was very quiet. We were chatting in the Abbey to the people next to us, finding out why we were there, you know, our reflections of the Queen. So and then of course seeing the processions as they arrived, and the extraordinary variety of people in the Abbey, of course, when we arrived, but then who came to the service, the extraordinary, and I'm sure people saw it on television, but sitting there and watching this long procession of world leaders, and without having commentators, of course, telling you who they were, I didn't know who they were, but just thinking, my goodness, you know, what an extraordinary collection of people who have come there. So we were really talking about the different perspective you've got of being there within the, within the sort of quiet of the Abbey. And of course, we'd spent the previous week, hadn't we, with amazing television coverages and lots of experts talking and spectacular views. And this was very, very different. This was, as I say, with no commentary going on, your own private view, not being able actually to see that much. But of course, when the coffin with the Majesty came in, of course, on the shoulders of those extraordinary and very tall guardsmen, all of a sudden that changed pretty dramatically, because there was suddenly, you know, a huge splash of colour, the coffin draped in the royal standard, and above everyone's shoulders above, so you could see it very clearly with the crown jewels on top. So it was a very different perspective, and that's really what we were talking about as regards the day itself. And then we chatted about our sort of memories of the Queen and when we'd met her, if we had met her. I think actually I'd met her more than the residents, which I was very fortunate to have been. But it's extraordinary that I can't remember the details of the stories, but how people related to themselves having been in the presence of the Queen, or their parents had talked about it, or their children had talked about it.
Is there one particular memory somebody had that really struck you?
There were very different views. There were certainly members of people who'd been, and seen her just from the sort of street lining point of view, but hadn't spoken to her. There were some other startling memories I have of that meeting, particularly one of our residents who hadn't been in the armed forces herself, but had been married to people in the armed forces, one in the Navy, one in the Army, and one in the Air Force. The two husbands had previously died. I thought, my goodness, what a life! All of which had, and she was of a similar age to the Queen, and thinking how her life had gone, you know, in parallel with the Queen's life, and the extraordinary life that she had had, and the extraordinary life that the Queen had had. So that was one startling part of the conversation. And I think it was very interesting that the residents were obviously sad about the Queen's death. Of course, we all were, but actually, we were all sort of expecting it at some time. And so I think the sense was one of sort of gratitude and reflection on an extraordinary example that the Queen had set in the way she committed herself. And of course, we were all knew about, but had all been reminded about that extraordinary radio broadcast she'd made in South Africa when she was 21. So reflecting on that and actually looking forward with confidence as to how that legacy be able to be continued by the King and the royal family. So I think, you know, there was the sense of sadness and reflection, but of optimism too about the future, which I thought was, you know, really encouraging.
I think my feeling, I mean, I'm incredibly sad. As you said, we all expected to, it was going to happen at some stage. And I'm sure we're all going to be able to recount where we were on the day that she passed away. I was actually at the Imperial War Museum, just by chance, looking at a lovely gallery of pictures of her in her sort of wartime uniform when she was looking after Land Rovers and driving military trucks. And I remember looking at her, her picture, and sensing that she was leaving us. And it was a very strange feeling. And an American came up to me and said, "Oh gosh, you know, was she really a mechanic?" And I said, "Yes, she was. She could probably take a Land Rover to bits and put it back together again. And we're proud of her." But I said, "She's really poorly." And so that was my memory. And I'm sure you probably remember where you were on the day she passed away. But I think we're all left with the feeling of being really, really lucky that we've had her as our monarch.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yes, I do remember where I was. Nothing as exciting as yours. I'm afraid I was at work at my desk at home. But it was interesting how the sort of work sort of stopped for the rest of the day. I mean, nobody stopped working, but you could sense that work wasn't being done, if you sort of mean. The business I work in, it's sort of computer based, but you could just tell the sort of sense of purpose of the day had really dropped. And then, and of course, that was a feature of I think all of our lives for the week. And that wasn't just because there were interesting things to watch. I think people were genuinely reflecting on what an extraordinary life she'd had, you know, what a contribution she'd made. And you know, it's interesting from our home's point of view. She, when we were just based in the one home in Richmond, you know, now some years ago, we, and in the, you know, earlier part of her nearly 70 years with us, she'd been a reasonably regular visitor to us. She had asked Princess Alexandra to look after us particularly, and she has done amazing work, a job, and continues so to do with us, and we're enormously grateful for that. But it was, you know, there's no doubt that the sort of pace of royal events had become, you know, one of the sort of features of life in our homes, you know, where we try to generate a sort of sense of family, and clearly the royal connection is part of that. And the residents did say that, you know, they'd all been very focused on the events following her death, and had sort of come together as a result of that more so perhaps than they would normally have done. And of course, one of the sad things about COVID over the last, you know, 2+ years is that the sort of sense of community we've been able to maintain within the homes has been suffering a bit because of the need to firstly, restrict visitors, and also our volunteers coming in. So I think it was a stark contrast there from what life has been like to that week when, as I say, the community within the home sort of were able to come together more than we have been able to recently.
Yeah.
And still, sadly, COVID still has that impact on us, you know, in homes much more, that care homes much more than it does for you and me in our normal way of life.
And also they're suggesting there's going to be another wave, so we're just all hoping it's not going to happen. Going back to the visibility of the ceremonies and everything, I think I understand from one of the royal correspondents, it's something that the Queen really, really wanted. She wanted, I think the quote was, to be seen, to be believed. And the wonderful television coverage was so poignant and really, really brought back to us all how important she was to our lives. And it was like an honor. It was an honor to watch everything and to see everything that went with her procession in the coffin from Buckingham Palace to Westminster Hall and the funeral itself. Have you, this is probably a hard question, but if you could sum it up in a couple of words, what it meant to you to be there, Do you have those words?
Well, it was. I think this, and I mentioned this before, it was suddenly realizing that she had the ability to make everybody feel special, whoever she came to. And you just felt that in the room of the Abbey, that she was special to everybody. And there was nobody there who was there out of duty. There were only people there who were, you know, wanted to reflect on that relationship that they'd had
with her. Yeah,
with her. So that's much more than the few words. I'm sorry, but that's
the best. No, that's sentiments. It didn't have to be one or two words. It was just trying to get to reveal some sentiments that you felt, because it's very hard. I don't think I could sum up in a couple of words if I'd been there what I'd felt like. Just, yeah. I'm sure that the silence in the Abbey, there must have been an audible silence when the coffin came into the Abbey.
So there was, when we all arrived, obviously there were people chattering gently to each other and finding out who they were. And then actually, there was a sort of moment when the first procession came in, when that just stopped dead.
Yeah.
So the silence started before, I think, and, you know, was maintained, you know, right throughout the service, except, of course, the, you know, extraordinary singing and the ability to listen to the service. No, but you're quite right. There was a moment when everyone realised that this was a moment in history, and silence fell.
Yeah, I remember broadcasting that exact comment, having just spoken about having to sort of aired the sounds of the marching, and I suddenly just said, this is a moment in history. I don't think we'll ever, excuse me, quite see anything like it again. I think King Charles is planning, obviously, for his coronation, something a little bit smaller. I think she's left us with a remarkable legacy that we will all cherish, really, for as long as we live, and our grandchildren will be able to see this and cherish that themselves as well. May I ask you if you have any lovely memories? You've met her many times, been fortunate enough to meet her many times. Do you have any special recollections of one of your meetings?
I suppose the best one was when I was invited to the palace for the investiture with the companion of the bath, which is, of course, a great moment. And my wife was in the audience and so on. And I remember going around the way in which you're presented, and finally it was my turn. And I'd been watching what was going on. And as I came forward, the Queen knew my name. She asked me a question that was extraordinarily relevant to what I was doing. She listened carefully to the answer, and then she made another comment. And, you know, I was watching for, I have no idea how she was prepared for that. There was no obvious way of someone giving her the question, and there was not a thought. And I thought, my goodness. I mean, maybe, you know, she was not only nice and charming and helpful, but my goodness, she was brilliant at her job.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant at it. I've no idea how she did it, because it was not a hesitation in the way she spoke to me, very personally and understood. And of course, she can't remember all that. That's just the way in which she did it was just extraordinary, and just, you know, demonstrated that her ability to connect with people, whoever they were, for how short a time, in a way that I think was just extraordinary.
A very, very special lady. And her smile, that's well known to be, is it as effective as you can imagine if you're there in front of her when she's smiling?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for talking to me and taking time out. That's really lovely, and lovely memories. I think we all can say that we're grateful and lucky to have had her as our monarch. And we will look forward to King Charles's reign. I think it's going to be very different, don't you?
Well, I'm sure it's going to be very different. But as I said, one of the things which I was sort of surprised about was the residents, when we were chatting, saddest about the Queen, but actually their observations and optimism about the future, and the fact that we can continue to have, you know, a head of state who is that sort of person in that sort of role, treading all those difficult lines which the king will have to do, but still being a way of focusing and uniting us all in the sort of long-term things that matter, without the bumps of life getting in the way. So I think that was a surprise, but a really, you know, a good surprise. And actually, it's great to hear the confidence that the elderly have in the future, which I think is always a good litmus test of what life's really like.
That's a marvellous thought to finish on. Tim, thank you so much for talking me to it today. And I have a good day. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.